Hi, everybody. David Donaldson here with another weekly episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. And this week we have David Mason joining us once again from Universal Title. David, welcome back.
Hey, David. Great to be here.
You know, I've been having conversations lately, and transactions are so dynamic. And there's so many moving parts that take place from contract to close that people just are so focused on the things that happen between them. They're checking a lot of boxes. But questions come up sometimes, or a lot of times, about, hey, what are all these other aspects and what am I overlooking? And I want to have a clear conversation for people so they have a clear understanding is, what's this title aspect? It's a percentage. It's not a small percentage. There's money involved here and there's insurance, but it's really dynamic. And I think people really need to have clarity around the conversations that they're having with the consumers about why title and why it's so important.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I am obviously biased, but I think that title companies play a very important role in the real estate transaction. But it's not a very commonly understood part of the real estate transaction, especially around the product that we sell, the title insurance policy. But we really are playing so many different roles, and we're doing so many different things in the real estate transaction other than just insuring title. Insuring title is obviously a very important part of what we do, but there's so much other stuff that we're doing that I think consumers and even real estate agents and loan officers that are in the industry aren't really aware that we're doing somewhat behind the scenes.
Yeah, when people think of insuring title, like, what does that truly mean? Like, is somebody really going to come back and say, hey, you're living in my house, get out?
Yeah, I mean, that's the classic example, right? I mean, and it does happen, not very often, obviously. But the title insurance policy itself insures against that type of event. But it also protects consumers against issues that could come up. The most common being liens. Liens are judgments against prior owners that were either not released at closing or misindexed or missed, or sometimes they're filed against a prior name of the seller, and so it doesn't get picked up on the search because the seller changed their name, but it's still a valid lien against the property. So that type of thing, building permit violations, easements, encroachments. There's so many different coverages in a title insurance policy. But I would say the number one thing that title insurance and the title insurance companies that are conducting closings are doing right now that benefits consumers is fighting fraud. Fighting fraud in seller impersonation and the fraudulent transfer of properties, but also wire fraud and criminals that are actively engaged in trying to steal people's money that is involved in a real estate transaction.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point, like, because fraud can fall into a couple different buckets, right, when it comes to this, right? And I think back, obviously I've been doing this a little while, right? And you didn't hear a lot about fraud in the industry per se, right? Because it was very paper heavy what we did for a very long period of time. So it was harder to do those types of things, right, in a paper. But now the ability to steal somebody's identity, right, get involved in a transaction by accessing through phishing, right, mm-hmm. The trust factor, I think, on the side of the general public, and I don't want to point out, hey, consumers, agents, and this side, but the general public have gotten very, very nonchalant about, oh, this is just a part of this.
Yeah.
Well, let's kind of focus in on that digital fraud, wire fraud to a degree, and how that kind of comes into play. And honestly, how easy that can happen.
Yeah. I mean, as more and more of our transactions have moved to digital, whether you're talking about just transferring money or signing documents, I mean, there's very few things that we do as consumers that are, in person signing papers. Real estate settlement actually still is one of the few transactions where you're signing paper most of the time, especially if you're getting a loan. But that is rapidly changing as well. But as you're transacting and moving money and verifying identities, and it's all being done digitally, it does open the door. It's convenient, it's great, but it opens the door to potential fraud and theft. And I think title companies, at least Universal Title and many others, are really at the forefront of making sure that the real estate transaction stays up with the important fraud protections that are necessary to protect people's money. I mean, that's what we're talking about, is protecting people's money, because sadly, I've heard of too many cases where people have fallen victim to fraud schemes and lost tremendous amounts of money that was non-recoverable. And that is, that's tragic. So, I mean, we are dealing with a lot of money that is exchanged hands, going through our escrow accounts. I mean, just last year, Universal Title handled a couple $1 billion in other people's money. So, I mean, there's a lot at stake to make sure that we've got the safeguards and the technology in place to protect the transaction.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to communication. Like, it's communication can be so simply overlooked and solve so many challenges about awareness of what to look out for, right? I look at this and go, whether it's a real estate agent having a conversation with their consumers going into a transaction, or even the first time that they get involved with a closing company about how their processes are handled, but kind of like understanding that, hey, we're never going to email you and tell you to change wire instructions, right?
Right.
So don't click on a button that says last minute, 24 hours before close. We change your funding, wire it here. Mm-hmm. But people are just so caught up in the lack of awareness and excitement that's happening. Okay, this sounds right because I'm closing tomorrow. And this is coming from, looks like an email. It could be spoofed, right? But yeah. Understand that there's no security behind that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a very simple education piece that, as an industry, the title industry, real estate industry, needs to continue to educate consumers about wire fraud schemes and the fact that wire instructions don't change. And I think we're going to start seeing even more technology put in place to safeguard people's wire transfers, where you're verifying accounts. So we're going to be rolling out in 2025 a verification system for seller proceeds, where seller verifies their bank account with us, and online by connecting their account before we initiate that wire transfer to their account. And so we see that in so many other things that we already do, whether we're transferring money from our checking account or our broker account. I mean, most financial transactions that we're doing, there's some level of safeguard, verification of identity when we transact and move money around. And the real estate settlement should be no different. I mean,
I completely agree. Yeah. I could give a real life example, like Venmo or something like that.
Yeah, right.
When you connect your bank account, what do? They put a couple of pennies in and ask you to validate that money went back and forth.
Right.
They reimburse you with that, right? But there's a validation that takes place. Like, hey, we're going to connect to your bank account. Here's what we're going to do, and here's what we're looking for. If this doesn't happen, we got a challenge.
Right. That is the type of technology I think we're going to start seeing in the this space. And we are fully committed, of course, to making sure that we are on top of and a leader in implementing those types of safeguards and technology when it's available. But yeah, it is kind of a gap right now that type of system and protection is not commonly available. And I would venture to guess that most title companies are not doing something like that. So it is something as an industry we need to do a better job of.
Yeah. It's very mind-boggling to me that people are so inconvenienced right? They just want everything so easy. I'm like, guys, you got to pump the brakes on what you think is easy, because your inconvenience could be really, really protecting you in the long. You might not even know.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And one of the things that we do is called a KBA or knowledge-based authentication when we're signing digitally with people, and that usually that's the seller. And we have to have so many conversations with consumers and their representatives when they get somewhat frustrated with the process. And we're like, guys, we're protecting your money. Like, we're protecting your asset. And I think that's a really important part of what we do is we are protecting what is most people's largest asset, and the equity and the, the money that's involved in the real estate transaction.
With technology rapidly changing, and you and I have had conversations about, hey, what does that look like? And we don't have to dub it, but like blockchain or different layers of security. But the thing that kind of jumps up to me, and it kind of, it's just the yin and yang for some of the things, right? We're always playing catch up to the bad guys. That's the fact of security and digitize. We can try to outthink them, but we're always playing, we're in a catch up situation. Artificial intelligence, while not new, has become mainstream. Most of 23 and 24, people are still like, wow, they see things. I look at my kids and they see things online. I'm like, and they automatically assume these things be true. And I'm like, look, these things are so easily manipulated now. But that, I think that has kind of changed the dynamic of spamming and scamming and phishing. Like, we joke and say, hey, in the early instances of phishing, right, there was a lot of misspells. It was very easy, fraud, different things. But now with artificial intelligence has made their job incredibly easy to truly spoof and create a digital twin, if you will, of yourself, the organization, a title company, real estate agent, of who you are from a representation. It's like, it's scary, but it's something we're leveraging on the backside because then we're using artificial intelligence to combat artificial intelligence.
No, you're absolutely right. We are constantly playing catch up, and you can't, I mean, you cannot trust an email anymore. Like, you just can't trust an email, no
That's
matter
really what I'm
how.
trying to get across.
Right.
Don't trust.
No, you can't trust an email, and you're absolutely right that the spoofing attempts or impersonation attempts that we see now, you don't see those glaring grammatical mistakes that you used to be able to use to identify potential fraudulent email. And so, as a company, and what we say to consumers and real estate agents is like, you just can't trust an email. We don't send our wire instructions out via email. If you ever get an email asking for information, don't respond to it. We pass all of our non-public information, like social security numbers, bank account information, dates of birth, via a secure web portal. So you just can't trust email and any information that you think is legitimate coming from it.
No, and that's I get questions all the time, and I'm like, look, if you have to question it, trust your gut, right? Just trust your gut. Pick up, and as antiquated as it might be, pick up the phone. Right? If you get something that you are not sure whether you've been brought to your, pick up the phone, call your agent, call your title company, call your rep. But understand that if I'm logging in, I'm transactioning somewhere, something, it should be behind a firewall or some protected protocol. It's not in the out in the open.
Well, what's even scarier about sticking with the sophistication and evolution of these criminals, you got to make sure you call when you pick up the phone and call someone, you don't use the telephone number that is in the email because
Correct.
They've gotten so sophisticated. You call that number and they pick it up and say universal title, and it's somebody half a world away answering that phone number that they've set up as a spoof. And so the way to combat that is if you have any question, you go out to a website and you verify, you go to a trusted number, you go to universaltitle.com, get our number, call the number on the website, and then you can speak to, a trusted person. And, but yeah, I've heard of schemes or scams that, they've set up, fictitious numbers because people, oh, I better call and verify this. And they call the number that was included in the, fraudulent email.
Well, you brought up a good point, right? Like, if you're not trusting the email, but you're calling the stuff or you're clicking on the links in the email, that's a challenge, right? No, leave that, shut that down completely. Validate your source by either A, going online or calling your real estate representative and gets, hey, where am I actually going to about this information?
I saw a scary statistic recently that wire fraud, it's not just real estate, but just like wire fraud in general, where these types of schemes are taking place. If you added it all up, it would be the third largest economy in the world, where after the United States and China, fraud and theft, digital fraud and theft, where you're talking about wires, crypto, like that, it's the third largest economy in the world, which is, you know, why there's so much of it, because it's lucrative. You know, criminals are making a lot of money in this space. So, you know, real estate transactions are very much a target.
Yeah, all that comes into play because it's compensation changing hands. It's property and value, which is hundreds of thousands of dollars changing hands. It's land, like we talked about previously. It's like, you know, there's a couple of components of like, hey, what are other aspects? So that if that's the wire fraud intervention side of things, there's also the possession side of things.
Right? Yeah, yeah, correct. So there's seller impersonation schemes. The high risk transactions are vacant land and non-owner occupied properties, where the owner is not living in the property with eyes on it. Vacant land is very high risk right now, and we go through a lot of steps, some of them pretty simple, to, you know, to safeguard our vacant land transactions. For instance, when we get a contract in on a piece of vacant land, the first thing we do is mail out a letter to the address on the tax records to the owner saying, hey, we just received a contract on your property. I don't know if you're actually selling it. If you're not, please call us immediately. And we've gotten calls. We've gotten calls from people that say, I'm not selling that property. Like, what's going on? And we've been able to prevent fraudulent transactions that way. But you know, then the criminals, if they, you know, they're not local, typically they're out of town and they're communicating via email mostly. And then they've got really sophisticated fake IDs, and you just have to be really, really careful with some of those higher risk transactions.
Spot on. I've seen some of these fake IDs. Like, this isn't back like when I was in high school and I was bending the corner back and no. Penciling in a date change, right?
You'd never do that, Dave.
No, definitely not. I saw that on that.
Yeah, if your sons are listening, he would never do that.
But yeah, so like all those things, and honestly, like, and there are proper things you put in place. Like I think about like transferring of ownership through like wills and properties that are left to people, right? Mm-hmm. What are some of the best practices? Like, hey, if I'm going to put, how do I make sure, other than having a will, but how do I make sure title is properly put in place that I want to leave something for my heirs? Because that's obviously another incredible opportunity that somebody's not around to fight what I'm saying. I can take it to the persona.
Yeah. I mean, when you start talking about the level of risk involved in transactions, when it's coming out of an estate, whether the person had a last will and testament or died intestate without a last will and testament, there's a higher risk there. And obviously, purchasing a title insurance policy is not required for an owner, but those types of transactions, you know, they are very high risk. And I've seen lots of claims where someone either intentionally or unintentionally opened an estate and missed including an heir. And so we only know the information that's been filed with the probate court. And if that heir is not listed, I'd like to give the administrator the benefit of the doubt, but they may have intentionally left them off for other reasons. I've seen claims where, you know, a true owner of the property that inherited a portion of it was not included in the sale because they weren't included in the estate filing. So, you know, the best thing people could do if that's part of their estate plan is put the title to the property in a trust. You know, that in my opinion is the best way to pass property from generation to generation, person to person. It just takes it out of the probate process, and it just makes the ease of administration a lot easier. But you know, if you don't want to do that type of estate planning, you certainly have a last will and testament, which is also just, you know, makes it a little bit better to make sure that people's wishes are adhered to. I've also seen closings when you talk about hairy title issues where someone, multiple generations have owned the property. Nobody had a will. And, you know, finally someone says, well, I think I'm going to sell grandmother or grandfather's house. And it turns out that there's 30 different owners of the property because you basically start at the top and you do the family tree and everybody's got a, you know, 1/32nd interest as you go down the family tree, and it gets quite complicated. So having a will, setting up a trust is a great way to make sure that the title is passed properly.
What about the people say, hey, I'm buying a new construction. Why would I, if there's no history to that, mm-hmm. why would I need insurance?
Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways it's a valid question and you know, lower risk transaction. In other ways, you know, take Virginia, for example. The Virginia mechanics lien laws are written in a way where subcontractors could actually lien the property after they've completed the work, after the home has been completed, after the sale of the property. So if there are subs that have worked on the property that haven't been paid, they could lien the property after you purchase it, and that's a valid lien against the property. And then that becomes an issue for the new owner. So that's one pretty good reason. But there are others. If there's, you know, I've seen issues come up with, you know, setback issues, or you know, as you subdivide the property, it wasn't done correctly, and so you know, ensuring that your legal description is accurate, and you know, fraud. We talked a lot about fraud, but you know, that is something that is covered in what's commonly referred to as the enhanced owner's title insurance policy. So if someone were to steal your identity after closing, take out a lien against the property, which is another scheme that I have seen. If someone stole my identity, went to a bank, took out a HELOC against my property, my title insurance policy could cover that.
Look, it's like all insurance, security, all those things. You go, well, geez, why do I need this? Until the time that you need it.
Yep. And I think also, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning, there's so many things that we are doing outside of just issuing the title insurance policy. Right. You know, we are clearing a lot of issues. That I think is a common misperception, is like what we're doing is, you know, doesn't necessitate the policy, right? So, you're reviewing title, you're clearing issues. That's all true, but there are also a lot of unknowns, you know, things that we could never uncover through our title search that could come up later. And is the likelihood of a title claim, you know, is it likely that you experience a title claim? No. That's why for $1,000, $2,000 in premium, you're receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of coverage. And, you know, title insurance companies are no different than any other insurance company or insurance policy. You know, they're pricing their policy based on the risk associated with the policy. So if you buy a $1 million home and, you know, it's a few thousand dollars for your title insurance policy, well, you're getting $1 million worth of coverage for a one-time premium. That indicates the level of risk. But if it happens, it's going to be big. You know, if it happens, I shouldn't say it's going to be, but it could be. It could be a big
example. When you say clearing,
so when you know when we pull a title search, we'll see all the time unreleased liens or judgments against the seller or prior owner or homeowners association, you know, dues, city water liens. I mean, things that need to be, you know, tax delinquencies that need to be taken care of so they don't remain a claim against the title to the property.
FRPTA, right?
FRPTA, yeah.
For those of you that don't know what FRPTA is, but mostly it's our audience of agents, but you know, foreign owners and investors, right?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Like making sure that those rules are adhered to, and make sure that does not become a a claim against the new owner. That is definitely a sophisticated or complicated transaction when we deal with a FERPTA issue, making sure that everybody is well educated as to what the federal law is when a foreign person is selling, and that's a specific defined term. Foreign person is selling a property, and we have to do a tax withholding to make sure that the buyer doesn't become obligated to pay those taxes.
We've seen a lot of changes in contracts, obviously the settlements and the things that have been in the paper and the news, and they're still there. We're still a lot of unresolved things of where this ultimately is going to land over the next couple of days. How have the changes recently affected the title side of the business?
That's a good question. I mean, I think at the core of what we do, I don't think it has changed much, if anything. However, I think where it's changing the industry, I believe, is how title companies, at least Universal Title, are planning for the future, how we're evolving as a business. So, what I mean by that is Universal Title, is planning on becoming and working on developing into more than just a company that offers title and settlement services, offering additional services to the consumer, to the agents involved in the transaction, and setting up additional businesses to support the transaction, additional services after closing to support consumers, where it's not just transactional, it's more holistic, where we are working with real estate agents, for example, on we started a social media production company. Again, it's a separate company that is part of our umbrella, but it's something that we're currently rolling out, where we're not just a one-trick pony. We're offering lots of additional services in the industry, and I think that's in reaction to a lot of the changes that we're seeing in the industry, where we have to evolve and do more than just provide your traditional title and settlement service.
Support, right? You're going to support the agents, you're going to support the consumers. I know you guys are heavily invested in training and education, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys are always been there that I'm aware of, being at the forefront of technology changes, right? Pre, post, and during the transaction, not just securing the transaction on the back end. I think those are the things when agents or consumers are looking at, hey, who am I working with? Those are the things that are going to be most important. And I challenge all the agents out there, right? If anything that we talked about today is foreign to you, get up to speed on that. Talk to your person, talk to Universal Title, but get a really clear understanding, because it's not a checkbox item that you have title insurance. It's so much more, and it can be so massive if not properly managed, communicated, and executed.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think that's one of the changes we're seeing in the industry right now. What is driving that change, whether it's the NAR settlement or just the market, the down market that we've been in the last few years, combination of all those things. I think what we're seeing is the businesses that succeed and that are succeeding are complete businesses that don't just, aren't just delivering one simple service. Take the real estate agent example that you just used. Like, they need to understand what's going on at title and during the closing process. They need a better, deeper understanding of the loan. They need to be able to serve the consumer in managing their home after the transaction and managing that asset. And I see us as the same thing. Like, we need to be more involved in supporting training and education. We need to do more in supporting agents' businesses, whether it's the videography company that we've started, or helping agents with their database management and farmless and targeting properties in the neighborhood that are more likely to sell. And we've got a lot of data that we have access to. And so I think what we're seeing is this this continued evolution of professionals, and the ones that are becoming more well-rounded and all things to the consumer and their clients are the ones that are succeeding.
Listen, David, I always appreciate the conversations that we're able to have with you in our ever-changing industry, you know, both sides of it and all sides of the transaction. Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you again on another episode.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, David. Thanks for having me, and look forward to it.
All right, perfect. Take care, everybody. Tune in next week.